to the Lensless Podcast. Welcome back to the podcast, show 141. And I won't repeat what I'm going to say in the first section, but a slightly different type of show for you. Reaching out into new areas. I enjoyed it. I hope you do too. Welcome back to the Lensless Podcast. It's show 141, and it's a bit of a landmark show because I have no co-hosts or co-hosts, and I have no guests or guests, because we have had more than one. But I thought it was worth putting out a small show to cover a few things. I've written a few notes down. Updates on hosts and plans for the future guests, and then I've also written down book review. I do have a book to talk about. I may have talked about it before. Not really sure. It won't be an in-depth book review, but something that perhaps might appeal to some folks. So, well, I was going to do a spotlight interview this morning, but we couldn't make it. There's some issues that got in the way, so hopefully we'll reschedule that for a bit later on. Spotlight is where I talk to one of the pinhole camera manufacturers that are knocking around, and we ask them a series of questions. They're meant to be shorter interviews than our normal rambling ones, but sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. Anyway, show 141. Well, what can I say? It's been a while, hasn't it? I came onto the show at show 6, and Corey was flying high. We haven't heard much from Corey. He's still around. He pops in and out of the Facebook group. And for those new to listening to this podcast, you may not like Facebook, and I get it. I really do, and I only really stay in Facebook as a social media platform, so that I can be involved in one or two groups, and in particular the Lensless podcast, and my other one that I do with Simon and Eric, the large format photography podcast, and I pop up in a few darkroom forum groups as well. So we see Corey in the Lensless podcast Facebook group, and I do encourage you to jump into the Facebook group and join in. It's very interactive, and it runs hand in hand with the podcast. So I don't know how long ago it was now, a year, 2 years ago. I really couldn't get Corey to join me in any shows, and you know, I felt a bit anxious about this because, you know, he started it. It's his baby 5-6 years ago, however long ago it was, maybe longer. It was his baby, and you know, I'm not here to take it over, and it still remains his podcast. So we had a chat, and he said, just Andrew, you know, just go with it. And you know, I'm not he said, I'm not saying I won't do another show with you, but I may do. But for the moment, you just go with it. So with his blessing, we've carried on. And you know, when we started, we were doing a podcast a week, and of course that's really unsustainable. Life gets in the way, you know, work gets in the way, personal life gets in the way, and quite frankly, we just ran out of guests. Well, no, I don't think we really ran out of guests, but it was becoming harder. You know, to use that horrible term, we dealt with the low hanging fruit, and the higher stuff is by definition harder to get hold of, but it's still there, and I'm still working at it. So since then, I did a few shows, and I quite like doing shows where I'm just me and a guest interviewing, but I also miss the interaction of having other hosts with me. So I've got John Farnan and Mr. Holger, who have been on a few shows with me just recently, and they bring a different dynamic to the show. So they'll expect to hear them on occasion when I can get them, rustle them all up together and get them to appear. We do have a date planned for after Easter to just shoot the breeze. I don't know why I said shoot the breeze. I never say shoot the breeze, but just to talk. I'm trying to get them focused on topics, but it's really hard. They don't want to. They don't seem to want to focus on topics. I've suggested book reviews or what something else that we could talk about when we don't have a guest. And John and Mr. Holger, come on, get your act together. Help me out here. And John in particular is extremely active in the Lendless Podcast Facebook group. Very knowledgeable, and if you've got any real questions, John is your man. I think really with many many pinhole related questions. So we'll do more shows with John and Mr. Holger, and some will be by myself because John works most days. Mr. Holger lives in Texas, and they're both busy and time differences get in the way. So rather than just not put shows out, I'll do, some on Mondays, which don't suit John very much, and get guests on. Mostly I discover guests from Instagram or, Instagram or the Facebook group. And I have set up a chat in the Facebook group, which is no good for those who aren't on Facebook. But I have set up a chat on the Facebook group. And when I've had a few slurps of my coffee, we'll talk a little bit about future guests. Okay, well, part two. We've never had parts in podcasts. It's exciting, isn't it? Part two of show 141 of the Lensless Podcast. Future guests. So, as I said briefly before I went to drink some coffee, there's a chat in the Facebook group called Guests for the Show. Clearly, if you're not on Facebook, you won't see it. A few people have commented, and some people didn't understand what the chat group was for and started talking about music, but that's okay. Even if John Farnham is into jazz, funk, or some such thing. If you'd like to come back on the show, you're a Lensless Podcast Facebook group interlocutor. Oh, that's a good word, isn't it? Then jump into the chat and remind me. And I'm going to try and be a bit more organised and bring my list up to date with guests, and some of them will be just with me. If you're lucky, you'll get John and Mr. Holger, or maybe if you're unlucky, you'll get John and Mr. Holger as well, and who knows. Herschel Pollard, who I've known, has never been on the show. I've known him really from the Polaroid world for many many years. So hi Herschel, if you're listening. I'm not sure if you do. You're an occasional interactor with the Facebook group, but Herschel sent me a list. Somebody said Mike Rattle. I don't know how to pronounce your surname. Apologies, Mike. Mike said, are there any South American or Asian pinholers? Seems like most of the guests are from the UK or US. No, we have had some ones from mainland Europe. I'm sure that's the bulk of the audience. Well, that's certainly true. It's not a conscious bias, but it could be an unconscious bias. I'm certainly not averse to talking to folks from all around the world. In fact, I'm in discussion with somebody from Ukraine, whose English is really poor, and she's probably going to need a translator. So I'm a bit anxious about that, but we're hoping to schedule that for June or July. So let's say we're not just bound by the folks who are fluent in the English language. So Herschel said there are lots in South America and Asia as well as Africa, and he sent me the list from I don't know, apologies Herschel, I may know this, I don't know if this is your site or someone else's site, but it seems to be a link to pinhole artists page. I think they're all pinhole artists. They may do other creative sort of Polaroid or toy camera work as well, which is absolutely fine because we love to talk about not just lensless photography here, but toy camera type work, lumen prints, things that don't necessarily need biting sharp lenses to give you biting sharp images. So he sent me this list, and to be honest, I'd forgotten about it. Sorry, Herschel. Until I thought, you know what, let's put a show out and put some thoughts together about future guests. So there's a whole loads of folks on here. Some are in Australia. Australia is really hard to deal with. We've had Australian guests on here, and it's just bonkers trying to talk to them because it's like the other side of the world, and time differences are crazy. Peter de Graaf is on this list, and we spoke to Peter. So we can go back, and I'll certainly reach out to folks who've been on before. Chris Perrigoy is doing an internship somewhere, an artist internship over the summer, and we'll get him on. Remind me, Chris, to update us. Astra Beck, Becky Ramatowski, she's not been on for a while. I'm just reading names of previous guests who've been on here. So we've got this as a resource, and I think I'll start working down from that. I've had one Holger pinhole winner entrant, yes, on so far, and we'll perhaps get a few more of those people on as I reach out to them. So if you want to come on the show, you can message me. You can send me an email at Andrew Bartram, Bartram, 66 at gmail.com. That's Andrew Bartram 66 at gmail.com. You can message me via Facebook, but that's no good if you don't do Facebook. I'm on something called Telegram, apparently, so you can message me on something called Telegram. Send me an email. You can, I don't know, be creative and reach out to me some way. Ask a friend. And if you'd like to come on, then excellent. If you've listened to any of our shows, and there's 140 of them, it's very conversational. We don't have a script, except when we're doing the spotlight. Well, no, that's not even a script. It's just a list of questions. So we don't have a script. It's like sitting down with a friend in a pub. That's how I like to describe it, and just usually without alcohol. But I suppose all of this cogitation brings me to why the shows are so infrequent at the moment, and I don't think this is a, this is not uncommon with podcasts. They break onto the scene, and some of them burst on with enthusiasm for 6 dozen shows, and then we never hear from them again. Well, I do understand that regularity and spacing of shows is really good to build up an audience, but that requires a level of commitment on my part that I just don't have, quite frankly. Mainly because stuff gets in the way, and you'll know what I'm talking about. It's life events, family events, often a huge chunk of apathy as well. I work part time. I'm cutting my hours down a little bit. The days I don't work, I'm doing things around the house. I'm doing some shopping, doing some cooking, doing some cleaning, all the fun stuff that you do as a sort of house husband. My wife works full time, and then I try and schedule some stuff in there for darkroom days and photography days. Most of my creative days are in the darkroom at the moment, and you can lump podcasting in with that as well. And we haven't put out a large format photography podcast in a while, but I've been talking to Simon Forster, and it's by no means dead, and we hope to have something for your delectation fairly soon. Leading up over Christmas, before Christmas, and just after, our son was really, really ill, and I mean, very poorly, and we didn't know what it was for a long, long time. And a month or two ago, it was finally diagnosed. He's on medication, and his life is sort of returned to normal, although the medication he's on is not straightforward in many ways. But it does mean that he can function normally again, and we just thank God for modern medicine and the diagnosis, and we thank the Lord for the NHS in the UK. If it had been in other countries, without where we'd have been reliant on private healthcare, we didn't have the right sort of insurance, then I don't know how easily he would have been diagnosed, quite frankly. But that's been a huge distraction for us, and you can understand that while that's been going on, podcasting has just been not on my mind. But I love doing this because I love the conversations, I love the interaction. It gives me a new burst of enthusiasm for the medium, And we hope to do a lot more. So that's a sort of general bit of navel gazing about the show and about future guests. And I'm liking this break thing. I'm going to take another little break, and we'll come back. And enough on the show. We'll just talk a little bit about a book I've dug out of the cupboard, and then we'll call it a day. Welcome back to the Lenses Podcast, part three, and the final part. I'm a huge photo book addict. Anyone who deals with me on social media platforms, Twitter, not there anymore, but I am on Blue Sky Media, and I thoroughly recommend Blue Sky Social, which is very Twitter-like, but without without Elon Musk. And you no longer need an invite code to join. So head over to Blue Sky Social, dump the X, and come and chat. But I'm a huge photo book fan, and when it comes to pinhole photography, I've spoken about a few of them in the past, but Corrie wasn't a huge book person, so I never really felt encouraged to talk about books. And I don't think John is. I'm not even sure if he can read. So I guess book reviews are, that was a bit harsh, wasn't it? Sorry, John. I know you can read comics at least. I'm only book reviews are probably going to be a thing that I just do if I put out more of these little solo shows, which I might do because they're really easy to do, and I'm happy to ramble on for a bit, even though I'm sober. So I take lots of inspiration from photo books, and anyone who's been listening or following my social media outpourings in the last year or two know that I've got heavily into colour photography. This has nothing to do with the book review that we're going to talk about, by the way, but this is more of a general introduction to this genre of photo books. I've got very much into colour photography and the language of colour and the uses of colour, which isn't always about in your face, When I first went to a camera club, you had to the judges reckoned you had to have someone red, wearing a red coat in there, because that would draw the eye and anchor the composition. Well, what a load of nonsense, camera clubs are, and camera club judges, apologies to those that are out there. Maybe you've got better over the years, but my experience of you is pants, quite frankly. And anyway, let's not be too controversial if I haven't already been. So my love of colour photography, really, I've dabbled with colour film over the years, like many. Back in the 80s, I started with black and white film, and largely that's what I do, and black and white printing, the dark room is my happy place. And I like to make prints. I tend to only share print scans these days because I hate scanning negatives. And I hate scanning colour. I could make no sense of it whatsoever. And so occasionally I'd get a burst of enthusiasm and do a bit of colour work. Yeah, I'd save them up and develop it myself. Develop rolls myself and scan them, but it wasn't the same. You see, I like a print in the hand. I like the tangibility. I like the memory. I like to put prints in boxes. I like to type up notes of to go alongside the prints. It's all a bit mad. It's all a bit analog. So I was given by Andrew Atkinson, who runs Pinhole Photography Facebook group, and I was given. He reached out to me a few years ago, probably just around the time I was revamping my darkroom so that I could start hosting one-to-one workshops, and he said, Andrew, I've got this Jobo CPE2. Would you like it? And I said, yeah, of course. I had been thinking about colour work, and I thought you needed something like that just to make colour work. Well, you don't, but it does make life a bit easier in many ways. So this thing turned up, and it sat in my office for a while. And once the darkroom was up and running, Christmas about 3 years ago, I taught myself RA4 colour printing. I used a couple of YouTube tutorials from The Naked Photographer, who's excellent, by the way. Recommend you go and check his YouTube channel out. Anything, he's very knowledgeable on film and darkroom stuff, and lots of really helpful reviews. Safe Light testing, printing techniques. He's recently reviewed the Intrepid 4x5 enlarger as well. So yeah, great stuff. And he was very, very helpful. And I taught myself RA4 printing. And in many ways, it's a lot more straightforward than black and white. There are a few choices to make once you nail the colour cast issue. And if you're not too hard on yourself, you know, a little bit of a colour cast, who's to say whether it was right or wrong? If you're happy with it, well, go with it. Let's not be too puritanical about it. At the end of the day, it's about the print. It's about holding it in your hand. And for me, it finally made sense of colour photography. So I love now, I've always loved colour photography, but I've gone on a colour photography photo book shopping trip in the last year or two. And I'd love to talk about those on this show. They're not pinhole books, but you know, this show is about the art and craft of lensless photography and everything that makes it tick. And for many people, and certainly for me, I take inspiration from many, many sources. And it could be art galleries, it could be books, it could be TV programs. I've subscribed recently to the Darkroom Rumor, which is a website which has lots of photo documentaries on it. Many of them are in French, but fortunately they're in with English subtitles. And so at some point, I think when I do these shows with little book reviews and updates, I'll launch into those. But for today, I'd like to go to a book that, do you know what? I'm going to review it, but I'm not sure I've ever actually fully read it. I've just been flicking through it now, and I mentioned this on the show before, and somebody said, yeah, didn't get on with it, didn't like it. Well, of course, you know, things aren't for everybody. So this is an Aperture book. Aperture is a great publishing house. And it's got essays, and I'm not always a huge fan of essays. They can be a bit highfalutin, you know what I mean? Sometimes a bit hard to read. I like straightforward essays and things that are written in plain English. But this book is called I Am Not This Body, and it's photographs by Barbara S. E. S. And it's published by Aperture. And the, can I find the ISBN number? I can if I take my glass off and peer at it. The ISBN number is 0-89381-936-0. And it was printed and bound in Italy, if that's any help to you. And on the blurb on the back, it says, text by Pulitzer Prize winner Michael Cunningham, Barbara S. Thurston Moore and Guy Armstrong. And then there's a few, what do they call them? Sound bites by people who've reviewed it, you know, say this is a great film, that sort of thing. So Grace Gluek of the New York Times says, Barbara S. makes subtly toned photographs that are not so much reality as visionary versions of it, blurry and distorted. Well, yeah, sounds like pinhole. Some pinhole, anyway. They seem to coax their subjects from mysterious spaces. Gregory Volk of the Art News says, S.'s images often have a dreamy subterranean quality, part wonder, part menace, as if culled directly from the subconscious. And Peter, Peter from Village Voice says, S works in a gap between the out there of this of the world and the in here of the mind. Not to heal the gap, but for truth's sake, precisely to widen it. She thereby establishes a zone congenial to honest speculations of intelligence and to testifying of the heat-seeking missile of the heart. I think I understand that last one, but I certainly understand the first two. So I'm sure you can pick this book up quite cheaply, because I did, I'm sure, and probably on Abooks or somewhere. And on the inner cover blurb, I'll read this to you. Barbara S. is renowned for her unparalleled use of the pinhole camera and her effort to photograph what cannot be photographed. Now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because we often talk on this show about capturing time, and I think when you have a long exposure, you capture things that otherwise cannot be photographed, or maybe you weren't expecting to be photographed. And sometimes that can transpire into emotion as well. But that's a whole different topic. The unseen world of sensation, thought and emotion. The haunting images she has created over the last 20 years, probably more than 20 years now, because this was the early 90s. The haunting images she has created over the last 20 years are gathered in the lushly produced I Am Not This Body, her first major publication. And it's a lovely book. Using the most basic photographic means, a camera with a tiny lensless aperture, that's what a pinhole camera is, S describes the mystery and possibility that lies beneath the apparently mute surfaces of everyday objects. Liking it already. Due to the short focal length of her camera, well, it doesn't have to be, but hers is, her subtly toned, we like toning, I've just been messaging folks about that on social media, her subtly toned compositions of plunge towards their luminous centres, I guess it's referring to the sort of light fall off of the images. Their edges shrouded in darkness. S's subject matter is complex. The nature of identity, the primal forces and seductions of the natural world, and the interior and exterior lives of the self. She has an uncanny ability to describe and draw meaning from the world. In all its intricately woven opacity. Anyway, there's a bit more, but we won't dwell into that. So, just opening this book up, I Am Not This Body, and then it's just some introduction pages that you normally see. There's some striking images straight away, and I'll read the first little bit by Barbara S, and then just talk about a couple of pictures, and then we'll probably leave it at that. And you can go and check it out if you wish. So Barbara says this. She says, and there's this photograph, this kind of scratched, blurry, green image, which I think is a Polaroid image. And she says it all started with that scratched Polaroid. There we go. That is, and it's my sisters as teenagers, sweetly regarding each other, and there's these two girls sitting just exchanging secrets and giggling together on what looks like a stone bench. Two girls trapped like insects in amber. Wow. Insects in amber, because I immediately think of Jurassic Park, but things from a previous time, preserved and captured in perpetuity. Their innocence, the frailty of then, the juice still seeps through to the surface. I scratch a little more so I can see better. Grown up, she says, living in the city, hair all henna red. trapped in the city, a female beast, so sleek, so elegant, prancing round on asphalt, an alien on alien turf. She said, I'm at a party, wrapped in a fetal position, encased by a thick egg of glass. I want to break out. Around me, people are talking and drumming and dancing. The romance of nature, I'm missing bits out. The romance of nature, although wild wilderness is disappearing, it persists as an idea. And nature as a paradigm of beauty and harmony is a construct we cling to. So a little introduction there, and which is really an outpouring of things in her head, I think. The pinhole camera is a homemade one, because it said so later in the book. I'm guessing she's not gone and worked out the exact pinhole diameter for that quote's focal length, because the images really do have a ethereal and dreamlike quality. There's one on page 12 with a person with a white poncho and a black hat staring into a luminous pool of water with someone floating on their back, and it's just the most beautiful image. It really is. But nothing is really sharp. They're all very, very dreamlike. That's all I can say really to that. And as you go through the book, there are some clearly glimpses of her life and her friends, using the pinhole camera to record activities of folks on the beach as well, things in her house, everyday objects. They're all, many of them are toned in a sort of greeny, sepia-y colour. I don't know much about her process. I'm assuming it was all fairly analogue back in the 90s. I don't know whether there was any post-processing toning using electronic media, or whether it was all mechanical, like what I do. But right at the end, there's an interview with Barbara S. by somebody. Oh yeah, Juan Vincent Aligia. So I'll read the first little bit to you, and then we'll call it a day. And I'll post some links to this book in the show notes, which you'll find somewhere wherever you found this podcast, and also in the Lenses Podcast Facebook group. So since 1983, when you built a pinhole camera based on a diagram published in a newspaper, you have remained faithful to this primitive box. What's so specific about the making of photos with this camera? And Barbara says, beside the charm and simplicity of its mechanics, a pinhole camera, a box with a little hole in it, has a number of appealing advantages for me. Since I build the camera, I'm able to have an extremely short focal length, which creates an impression of movement and distortion. Distortion especially interests me because it can shake up, disturb people's preconceived notions of reality. A very seductive aspect of pinhole photography is the almost palpable physicality the photos can capture. The texture of physical reality seems to glow. Best of all, pinhole cameras somehow seem to actually have a capacity to transform the ordinary into a symbolic and reveal meaning hidden in the apparently mundane. Well, do you know what? I'm going to leave this book out. I've got a few others on the table, and I'm going to leave this out and study this a lot more, because just reading some of the blurb in the back and reading that little bit there is really piqued my interest in revisiting this book, which I said I've had for quite a long time. So just to remind you, to finish up, I Am Not This Body, Photographs by Barbara S. E-double-S. Look, well, it's a different kind of show 141. I've enjoyed chatting, got a few things off my chest, did a book review. Might do it again. I think we will do it again, with just to keep the shows coming out at a regular period where we don't have a guest, or I haven't managed to get a guest together, or I haven't managed to get John and Mr. Holger on the show. So rather than leave glaring gaps for months, let's bear with me while I chatter a little bit about a few things that are on my heart. And one of the segments in future could also be, as well as book reviews, could be what's going on in the Facebook group. We used to do that a bit with Corrie, but it never became a real regular thing. So look, you can follow me on Blue Sky Media, Andrew Bartram. I think I'm Warboy Snapper, Blue Sky Social, or some such thing. I'm on Instagram as Warboy Snapper, and also Warboy Snapper _pinholes. And of course on Facebook in this group. So there are a few ways to reach out to me. And if you want to be a guest on the show, reach out to me and we'll set something up. It's very, very simple. You just need a phone or a laptop, and ideally a wired microphone. So let's leave it there. Whatever you're up to, this show's being recorded on the week up to Easter. Have a wonderful, blessed time. Be blessed. Be blessed with your family, with your friends, and your loved ones. Take care.